You are listening to That Hoarder, Overcome Compulsive Hoarding. Between 2 and 6% of people have hoarding disorder, yet very few of us talk about it. Learn about the condition from me, somebody who has it, as well as academics, therapists, and other experts I interview. Find out how to support the podcast at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support. Finally, I am not a doctor, I'm just a hoarder doing her best. So do seek professional support if and when you need it. Hey, how are you? I am not too bad. I am going to start today with a bit of housekeeping and then I'm going to talk about laundry. A whole episode about what to do when your laundry is feeling out of control. Because we've all been there, haven't we? And then I have a shout out to another podcast with a great top tip.
Let's start with some housekeeping.
I've mentioned a couple of times now, I've had this idea of me and potentially you having some kind of Zoom accountability session, maybe once a month. Cameras off if you want. My camera will be off. But like an hour, somewhere between an hour and 2 hours, where we all do a bit of de-hoarding together. We can chat as we do it, or we can just get on in the knowledge that other people are doing the same. And I think it's really worth trying. And I've had some interest from listeners, which is amazing. If you too would be interested, drop me an email on info@overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk or let me know on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any of those places. And if there seems to be enough interest, I will set something up. I think it could be really cool. I think. Let's give it a go, but let me know if that seems like something you might want to take part in. The other bit of housekeeping is that April's De-Hoarding Darlings post is now up. So that contains Jan answering one extra question. It contains recommendations for other podcast episodes you might want to listen to. It's got a Spotify playlist. It's got a bit of an update about how things are going with me. And, oh yeah, just something I'm enjoying at the moment. So if you want to become a de-hoarding darling, to check that out, you can go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/darling. So, laundry. It feels like one of those facts of life, doesn't it, that whatever happens, there's just always laundry to do. And if you're like me, then sometimes you feel like you're reasonably on top of it, and other times it feels completely out of control. I think it was Fly Lady who I first heard call it Mount Washmore many years ago, probably 15 years ago, when I was trying to do Fly Lady. It wasn't a system that worked for me, but Mount Washmore is a great name for that mountain or those mountains of unwashed jeans and t-shirts and underwear and school uniforms and all of that stuff that just needs to go through the machine and you can't quite bring yourself to do it. For some people, it feels like it's kind of chronically out of control. You never feel like you're on top of it. Other people, they are sometimes or most of the time on top of it, but it's just built up and they now feel trapped and there's just washing everywhere and they don't know how to move forward. But either way, whether this is always a problem for you or whether it's recently a problem for you, there are ways to summit Mount Washmore and get over the other side. I, a few months ago, got through a massive backlog of laundry. And so for the first part of this section, I'm going to talk about how I did that. And then after that, I'm going to talk about some other options if the way that I did it doesn't sound like it would work for you for whatever reason. So first of all, what I did, I was in a position where I was running out of things to wear. I had so much laundry that needed doing that I had no idea where to start. And I was so overwhelmed by it that I kept ignoring it. And obviously, the more I ignored it, the fewer clothes I had and the more overwhelming the pile got. And the more I dreaded the whole idea. Because when you keep putting something off, it's like it confirms to your brain that it's definitely something to be afraid of. So it just reinforces that sense of dread or overwhelm or anxiety about the laundry. So the first thing I did was, before I did anything strategic, was I made sure that I had at least a couple of days of comfy, clean clothes that fit. Before I started looking at the piles, before I started anything else, I needed to make sure that for 3 or 4 days, I didn't have to worry. So the way I set myself up for tackling my own personal Mount Washmore was by doing a couple of loads of just casual clothes, things that I could move about in easily, things that were comfy, things that I wouldn't worry about having to do a bit of moving and lifting in. So that's where I started, with a couple of loads to make sure that for the next few days I had clean clothes. And if you have some things that absolutely definitely need to be worn, this is also the time to wash those. If your kids have school uniform, if they go to Brownies and Cubs and they have uniforms, if you've got a uniform for work, anything like that, wash those next, so that trying to deal with the backlog doesn't get mixed up with this kind of acute, "Mum, I need my PE kit for tomorrow" panic. So, clothes for a few days, then the definite things that are going to be needed. This can also include, some people use like washable menstrual pads or period pants or washable incontinence pads, that kind of thing. They are also something to prioritise at this point, just for hygiene reasons. But other than those very specific things, a couple of days of clothes, any uniforms that have to be worn, and anything hygiene related, don't try to prioritise at this point. Don't try to prioritise at all. There's no time for that. Plus, it can be a distraction. I think we've all been in a place where we knew there was big work to be done, and instead we busied ourselves with busy work, with the little bits and bobs that didn't really matter, but just felt somehow better to do than the big stuff we were putting off. So your next task, what I did next, was gather together as much as I could of the dirty laundry. Tried to get it all in one place, in some kind of container. That's important. Whether it's a laundry basket, and a giant bag and some boxes, doesn't matter what it's contained in, but don't pile it on the floor in front of the washing machine. That might feel like a good idea. You might feel like that will be a good motivator, but I think we've all done similar things to that before, and it's just ended up becoming a new fixture that, oh yeah, there's just a pile of clothes on the floor in front of the washing machine. That's how things are. You need it to feel as contained and controlled as possible, but try and go around your home and gather together. If there's a place you tend to drop your clothes when you take them off, if there are things on the bathroom floor, try and get it all in one place and contained. Now, living in a hoard, that's not as easy as it might be for people who don't live in a hoard. So don't fret about being perfect and getting all of this done in one go. You can pick things up as you find them and add them to where you're keeping the clothes that need washing. But generally speaking, it's a like with like situation. You want as much of it as you can, realistically, in one place. Now, something that I found hard and then liberating, so give it a chance if your immediate reaction is horror, was that if something was in bad condition, I just threw it away unwashed in the bin. There are times to worry about being wasteful. There are times to be very conscious about waste. But this particular state of overwhelm is not the time for that to be a concern. What your focus has to be is on surviving this and coming out of it to live a better life. And the destiny of a t-shirt with a torn hem and a big stain on it is just not as important as you having a livable home is. And so while my initial temptation was, well, I'll wash it and dry it and then maybe I can dye it a different colour so the stain doesn't show and I can definitely sew up that hole. No, if it's in a bad condition, bin straight away. It's hard and then it's liberating. That was what I found anyway. And something that helped me a lot at this stage when I was gathering everything together and throwing things out if they were in a really bad state was to try and kind of step back and objectively look at whether there were any barriers getting in my way. Why had the laundry situation got this bad? Sometimes there's something that's relatively simple to fix, but instead of realizing that and tackling it, we just avoid the whole thing. So it might be that there's just stuff in front of the washing machine and it's a bit of a pain to reach. It might be that you've not got space to hang things out to dry. When I did this bit of the process, I realised that my laundry basket was in a spot that was just a bit difficult to reach. I could throw dirty clothes into it, but getting anything out of it was awkward enough that it just put me off trying. So when I had cleared some space in the kitchen, I moved the laundry basket so it was easier to reach. And all of a sudden, doing laundry was automatically easier. Another thing I did was I got rid of the lid of the laundry basket because what I was doing was instead of lifting the lid, adding things to the laundry basket and putting the lid back on, I was just piling things on top of the lid. And so then I couldn't take the lid off to access the things that were in it because there were things on top. It was just a mess. So by getting rid of the lid and saying, I don't need this, I've now got an open laundry basket and it's a lot easier. There's just one block less when I think, shall I do a bit of laundry? It might be that you find hanging clothes out to dry exhausting. Can you do something like put a stool, if you've got one of those airers, clothes airers that you hang things out on, can you put a stool by it and sit down while you hang things out? If there's stuff in front of the washing machine, can you prioritise clearing that space? Think about what the barriers might be. They might be a really small thing, like the laundry basket lid. But once you spot it and resolve it, it's one battle less when it's time to do some laundry. The next thing I did was I sorted it all in one go into big piles initially of darks, lights and colours. no worrying about putting delicates with delicates, or putting or separating things by person or anything like that. Just darks, lights, colours. The way you'll wash things, darks, lights, colours. And once I had sorted the entire pile into darks, lights, colours, I then put those separate piles into bags so they were contained. Now, don't go buying new bags to do this. Use whatever is to hand. Boxes will do, baskets, bags, anything. But again, just to keep it contained so it doesn't become a new mess on the floor. And that way, when I had some time to put a load in the washing machine, there were no interruptions. It was a very smooth, streamlined process. I could just pick up one of these bags, know that everything could go in together because they were all black or all white or all whatever. I could transfer it straight into the machine without having to think about it and turn the machine on. This really helped me. It meant that whereas what I had been doing was, if I found myself thinking, oh, I should put a load in the machine, and then previously I would look at the laundry basket and it would be this big mishmash of everything, and I'd think, oh, I don't have time to match things up for a load, and so I wouldn't. Whereas once I had done this admittedly big job of sorting the whole lot into dark lights and colours, it was then already load by load. I could pick up a bag or a box or a basket and put it straight in the machine. It was really effective. Now, you will have clothes sometimes that have like complicated instructions. Maybe something is dry clean only, maybe it's hand wash only. And I had a few of those. And I had also come to know that I am 46 years old. I have never yet taken anything to the dry cleaner. It's highly unlikely I'm going to start now. I also know that I despise hand washing clothes. I really hate it. So I made a decision that even if it was dry clean only, or even if it was hand wash only, it was going in the machine. Because I knew they weren't going to get to the dry cleaners or to the basin. So there were basically three options. Either I couldn't clean it at all, so I couldn't donate it or indeed wear it. That was option one. Option two, I would put it in the machine and it would be fine. All good. Option three, I would put it in the machine and it wouldn't be fine and it would be thrown away. But option three does end up with something being thrown away, but so does inaction. So did option one. So by putting it in the machine, having already admitted that there wasn't another course of action that I was going to undertake, it would either be fine or it would be thrown away. If I didn't put it in the machine, it would definitely be thrown away. So I just started putting everything in the washing machine, whether it was dry clean only or not. And I'm not making any promises to you, but I can say that everything I've done that with has been absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. A big winter coat, dry clean only, absolutely fine after going through the washing machine. And given that the alternative was it never being worn again anyway, it suddenly didn't feel like so much of a risk. Now, the next thing I did is where it gets a bit grueling, but it was just a necessity. I dedicated days and days and days to making my way through my bags of laundry. So they were already divided up into darks, lights and colours. And I started just whenever I had a minute putting a load in the washing machine. Now, I don't have a tumble dryer. If I did have a tumble dryer, I could have probably got through it more quickly. But instead, I have to hang things up to dry around the house. So I have limited drying space. So the maximum I could do was, generally speaking, 2 or 3 loads a day. Some days I would do 3 and then maybe 2 the next day. And then by the third day, there would be so much hanging up and some of it was still damp. And I would just have to do 1 load for that third day. So I wanted to keep things moving, but I didn't want to get into a position where everything was damp. Because the more you hang up like close together, the longer it takes to dry. So I played it by ear, but I was aiming for 2 or 3 loads a day when that was realistic. And I pushed on with that day after day after day. If you've got a tumble dryer, you may be able to get through it more quickly. You do a load, tumble dry it straight away, it's ready. Do the next one, do the next one. If you've got a separate tumble dryer to your washing machine, you can have both going at the same time. But in my position, it was generally 2 to 3 loads a day I could do and still have place to dry things. Now, the good thing about this, even if that sounds like a lot, is it's not a task you have to pay constant attention to. It's not like cleaning or de-hoarding that you have to be present. You put a load on and can then get on with other things while the machine magically makes things clean. It's honest, during the period when I was doing this really intensely, it started to really astound me that things could be in a really bad way. Things could have been at the bottom of a bag and then there was a bag of potatoes on top of it and I lost them and so the potatoes turned liquid and dripped into the bag of clothes. You know, things could be really gross. And they would go through the machine, my ancient washing machine, and come out good as new. And I started to really appreciate the genius of whoever invented washing machines. I raise a glass to whoever that was. Now, some days this was quite a positive experience. I felt like I was taking positive action. I felt like I was making good progress. Other days, it was like, oh, not more laundry. For me, putting things in the machine, not too bad. Hanging them out to dry, that's the bit I really hate. And so I would put something in the washing machine, feeling quite positive, and then as soon as the machine stopped, I would get the dread. Go, oh no, I've got to hang this up now. But I usually work from home, so I could put a load on, work through the morning while the machine did its thing. Then during my lunch break, hang that out to dry, put the next load on, work for the afternoon. Then at the end of the working day, hang out that load, put another load on. It doesn't have to occupy every minute of your day. You can get on with other things. If you want to help to support this independent podcast that is dedicated to spreading awareness and understanding of hoarding disorder and is really unique in what it offers, please do subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss any future episodes. Leave a review and share it with your friends or anyone who might be interested. It all helps. Find out how to offer support at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support. And if you have moments of, how did I let it get this bad, and beating yourself up, I found that I just had to do my best to calm that self-recrimination down. Because wallowing in I'm so useless, as well as being unpleasant, is really counterproductive. Because if you get stuck in I'm so useless, then you don't think you can tackle Mount Washmore. You don't believe you can do anything, so why try? And you just get caught in this pessimistic, I can't do it anyway, there's no point bothering, trap. And that's the last thing you need when you're trying to really blitz this stuff. Something I found important is to not fill the washing machine with so much stuff that the drum is bursting at the seams. First of all, if nothing else, that's a lot to hang out and put away afterwards, and that can put you off doing it. But also, if it's really overfull, things just don't get properly clean. They don't have the space. So even if you can only bear to do half a load, that's okay. Do half a load. My machine has a setting for half loads, so it doesn't even waste water if that's the case. But generally speaking, you want the drum to be about two-thirds full to get it as clean as possible and to not be overwhelmed. The next thing I did was that as I was hanging things out to dry, I was also choosing what was going to go. It was kind of multitasking while actually only doing one thing. But chances are, if you're in a position where you've got so much laundry to do that it's overwhelming, what that probably means is that you've got too many clothes. And what that means is that some of it almost certainly has to go. And that's especially the case if, because of being overwhelmed with laundry, either recently or in the past, you've bought new things rather than wash what you've got. What all of that means is that your stash of clothes is just too big, unfortunately. And I found, right when I was absolutely sick of having to hang things out to dry, that was a good time to be realistic about how much I really wanted to keep something. The fact that I was hating the drudgery of the task and the fact that I was hating how out of control it all felt was a good reminder that having that volume of clothes was unmanageable. And yeah, I kind of like this top, but do I like it enough to repeatedly hang it out to dry for the rest of my life? Some things did go straight in the bin if they were in really poor condition, and I hadn't spotted that before washing it. Other things, once they were dry, went straight into the charity shop donation bag before I had the chance to question myself and overthink it and decide that I should probably keep it after all. So when you're drying things, don't put them away, don't put everything away and think, I will sort out what to donate later. Use that as an opportunity to look at what you've got and try and donate at least some of it there and then. And then if you can put away what you're keeping, do that. If you can't yet get to your wardrobe or there's no space in your wardrobe, this is a good time to have a system in place for clean things so that you know what's clean and what's not clean at a glance, whether that's a suitcase or a bag or however that works for you. But try to keep, dare I say, a minority of what you're washing. Something that also helped me to get on top of my Mount Washmore was not considering a load of washing complete until it's actually complete. Putting it in the machine is not job done, unfortunately. Putting it in the machine, washing it, drying it, whether that's hanging it out or putting it in the dryer, and then putting it away, that's the cycle complete. Just washing it is not job done. And it was by plugging away with that process over days, over a couple of weeks, to be honest, that I got from a position where I had nothing to wear and yet I had dirty clothes everywhere and I didn't know what to do, to a position where a lot of those clothes left the house without a single regret, I can say several months on, And it left me with a system that I'm generally speaking a lot better at keeping on top of. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I have a military precision with my laundry. But generally speaking, dirty clothes go straight in the laundry basket, which still doesn't have a lid. Generally speaking, I can find clean clothes when I need them. Generally speaking, the laundry basket isn't overflowing. And that feels good enough for me at this point. It doesn't feel out of control. It's still a chore, but that's okay. I don't have to love it. I just need a functioning system. And what I've got is a functioning system. But if what I've outlined there doesn't feel workable for you, that's okay, because there are other options as well. So I'm going to talk about some of those other options now. One is, if you're still overwhelmed, just do one load. Just pick your favourite top and your favourite skirt and wash those. Pick whatever's closest. Just do one load. It won't solve the mountain, but it will solve an immediate problem of what to wear. And it will prove to you that you're capable of doing laundry. If you still can't face the prospect of doing any of this, one option is to pay a laundrette to pick it up, wash it all, and deliver it back to you. It might sound quite luxurious. It might sound over the top. Or it might sound like exactly what you need. To just have someone turn up, take bags and bags and bags of your stuff, and come back in 3 days with cleaned and folded bags and bags and bags of your stuff. Another is to drop it all off at a laundrette to be washed and folded and dried for you. That's not quite as extravagant as having someone pick it up, but it's still getting someone else to do the big job that you have been putting off, and that for whatever reason you just can't manage at the moment. And if those options feel too drastic or too, I don't know, self-indulgent, I don't think they're self-indulgent, but if that's how it feels. Another option is, again, take it all to the laundrette. I think they're called laundromats in America, in big loads, but to wash yourself. The machines are bigger in a laundrette than you'll have at home, and there are multiple of them. You can have as many machines going at once as you need. You can get a lot done in one go. And the other benefit of taking it all to the laundrette is that you can't get distracted as easily. You can take a book and you can get some podcasts and some music ready on your phone. Take your headphones with you, but you'll be in a place specifically to do this task. So you won't be able to wander off and bake a cheese and onion pie or write a letter to your local council to complain about the state of a nearby kids' playground. You won't be able to get caught up in a whole David Attenborough series. You're in a laundrette with bags of laundry and machines all around you. It will focus your mind. And if you're listening to any of those three suggestions, whether that is having someone collect it, whether it's dropping it off to have it done for you, or whether it's going to the laundrette to do it yourself, if you're listening to that and thinking, I just can't justify spending money on that when I've got a perfectly good washing machine at home, try thinking of it this way. Your washing machine at home is perfectly good for day-to-day clothes washing, but this is not that. This is not a day-to-day amount of laundry. This might be months or years of laundry. So these might be quite extreme circumstances, and that can justify you spending a bit of money using a laundrette to get you back to a place where your perfectly good washing machine can go back to doing what it does best. It can help you to create the conditions where you can go back to using your washing machine on a regular basis rather than trying to do everything in one go after not touching it for 3 years. There are all of these different approaches to your laundry backlog, whether it's doing what I did and setting things up as best you can and then just plugging away at it day after day in a really determined way, or whether it's stepping outside of your own machine, getting some external help and really blasting it with the help of a laundrette or some kind of laundry service. If you're in what feels like a crisis situation with your laundry, your role is to do what you're able to do without berating yourself. None of this is a moral failing on your part. None of this makes you a bad person. Just makes you a person with a lot of laundry to catch up on. That's okay, because there are ways through it. And when you get to a point where you feel like you've reached the summit and you're on the downhill stretch, there are things you can do to try and reduce the chances of this happening again. An important one is to get rid of some of your stuff, whether that's clothes, towels, bed sheets. The less of that stuff you have, the less there is to wash. It's mathematically quite simple. And the less there is that can build up and create that kind of backlog again. You also want to have a place for dirty clothes and towels and bedding and be strict about it with yourself, with anybody else you live with. As soon as something needs washing, it goes in this particular place. That helps you to know what needs doing. It helps you to do it in a more streamlined way. And it also means that the dirty stuff doesn't get mixed up with the clean stuff, so you don't quite know what you're dealing with. Also, that the clean stuff ends up needing rewashing. If you live with other people, don't let this be your sole responsibility. If you have a partner, even young kids can help, whether that's sorting things into colours or putting their socks away. This doesn't have to be your sole responsibility. And the thing about keeping on top of it is about creating a system that works for you. I'm not going to prescribe a set system that everybody has to follow, because what is effective can look very different from person to person. But doing laundry on an ongoing basis is much more efficient and a lot less stressful than dealing with the chaos of running out of clothes and having piles and piles and piles to wash ahead of you. So what your system looks like might be you put a load on to wash every time you make breakfast. Might be that you pick a day of the week that is laundry day. Every Monday, everything gets done. It might be that everybody in the house does their own laundry, so you're only responsible for yours. It might be that you do a whitewash every Tuesday, a coloured wash every Thursday, darks at the weekend. And the thing about systems that I learned the hard way is to not go into it thinking if it's not quite perfect, then you have to scrap it all. Start a system. Start with an idea for a system, but adjust it as you go. If something about it doesn't quite work, just keep trying new things until you have a system that works for you specifically. And don't feel that you've got to wash everything when it's only been worn once. Because, number one, that creates a lot of work for you when it's mostly unneeded. But also, if you look at the carbon footprint of an item of clothing, a significant proportion of what's responsible for an item of clothing's carbon footprint is that thing being washed and dried over the course of its life. In addition to that, overwashing your clothes can damage them. It can make them fade. It can make them deteriorate more quickly. And so things end up in landfill sooner than they might have if you hadn't overwashed them. And the other thing about washing clothes is you might have heard of microplastics and microfibers. Washing clothes releases microfibers from your clothes. I'm going to link in the show notes at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk to two articles. One from Vogue called How Often Should You Wash Clothes? And that's the one that talks about the carbon footprint and overwashing causing fading and shrinkage and deterioration. And I'm also going to link to an article in The Conversation that said that UK laundry, so all the laundry done in the UK, releases microfibers weighing the equivalent of 1,500 double-decker buses every year, and that 35% of the microplastics that are contaminating the oceans come from washing our clothes. 35%. Because when we put clothes with synthetic fibers through the wash, that clothing sheds these microplastics that end up in the water. And so, as well as just creating unnecessary work, overwashing has no positive, not a single one. And you know I have to go here, but I do have to go here. The final way to avoid being intimidated by your own personal Mount Washmore in the future is to not buy more clothes. You've probably already got too many. You could probably survive with 20% of what you've got. You definitely don't need more, especially if the thing you want is dry clean only or cool wash only or hand wash only or whatever it is that makes your life more difficult. Ultimately, you may not learn to love laundry, and that's fine. There's no obligation to be thrilled when it's laundry day. But these are steps you can take to get on top of it and to stay on top of it. So shout out to the Speaking of Psychology podcast that I will link to in the show notes at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. And here, Dr. Amy Edmondson is talking about how to succeed and, relatedly, how to fail. Have a listen.
So do you have advice for steps that people can take to get past that emotional sting of failure? I mean, your book details stories of people who have failed massively and yet persevered and ultimately were successful. What were the character traits that were consistent among people who were able to do that?
But, you know, that's it's a wonderful question. And it makes me think, you know, this is mine is a book about failure, but really it's meant to be a book about success, right? It's about the central role of failure, especially in extreme success, you know, whether you're an Olympic athlete or an entrepreneur with a successful startup, real success can only come from that willingness to endure the failures along the way, because you will spend some portion of your time in new territory. And so the attributes that I think that truly successful people have in common which allows them to withstand the temporary setback and assault, emotional assault of failure, are curiosity, right? They're sort of driven by that desire to find out, well, what if, you know, what if I try this, what will happen? Persistence, for sure, a willingness to just pick right back up and try again, despite the setback, despite the failure, and an ability to appreciate both their own strengths and weaknesses, right? They aren't tied up in knots about being seen as inadequate in some way. They're just willing to be more honest, I think, with themselves and others about reality. So I think that's it's mainly about that persistence, that curiosity, and that openness to the data of their own experience.
Now, that may sound absolutely terrifying, and that's okay. It's just a thought to sit with. Okay, thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you next time. Thank you for listening to That Hoarder Overcome Compulsive Hoarding podcast. It's been a pleasure to have you on board. You can find all the links I've mentioned and a transcript of the episode online at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. To find out more about how you can support this podcast and the overall project, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support and do subscribe to the podcast so you make sure you don't miss any future episodes. There may be links in this podcast that earn me money. This doesn't come at any extra cost to you if you make a purchase through those links, and it helps to support the podcast.